Good afternoon. This is Tanya Schultz with Social Chats Locals. I'm live streaming with my co-host, Maria de Los Angeles. Hey, Maria, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tanya?
Good. I'm just happy it's not raining today.
Me too. I have
the
sunshine.
Yes. Actually, it's got
pretty bad this weekend.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that much rain. I don't know about you.
Well, it was a
deluge. What is that noise? Sounds like your alarm's going off.
It's my landline.
Oh. you actually have a landline?
My family does.
Oh, I was going to say, most people don't have landlines. Good for you.
I wouldn't if I
was
in my own house.
I see. Yeah, I haven't had a landline in forever. I used to have one for my fax machine, but then now it's like I get all my faxes through my computer. And actually, I have a fax machine I've never used, so it's kind of funny, actually. But, so what did you do anything exciting for this weekend? Did you any parties for Halloween?
I went to a friend's house on a Halloween party, which was very fun. I haven't seen him in a long time. My friend is actually a world-famous caricature artist.
Oh, wow.
Lives in Miami Shore with his wife.
Uh-huh.
And he's also done a lot of cartooning. So I haven't seen him in a long time. He's been more active in my social life when I was living in South Beach.
Oh, I see.
And they had the house all decorated with spider webs and spiders and funky babies.
I always feel very blessed for those people who would decorate their house for Halloween. Because, you know, Christmas is okay, but, you know, cleaning up afterward for Halloween is a lot, isn't it? With the cobwebs and everything else.
Yeah, they had a lot of follow-up work to do because they really went out. I took a video that I'm going to put on YouTube.
Oh, you did?
They had a spider in the bathtub that was really large. It was about 2 to 3 feet wide.
Uh-huh.
When he sat on the toilet, it leaped out at you.
Oh, my God. That is funny.
I literally screamed.
That is funny. That's a good one.
It was really good. It was really good. It was a great trick. And every time I went to the bathroom, I screamed again because I just couldn't get used to it, you know.
I bet you his wife must be happy that he's putting it away, because usually, I guess if he had his way, would he leave it in his bathtub all this for until next year?
Well, they have, you know, they have two bathrooms, so.
Oh.
This was actually the guest bathroom.
Yeah, but I'm saying, would they leave it in the guest bathroom until next year? I mean, Scotty would have, if he had his way.
So what about you? Did you do anything fun?
No, we stayed home. It rained, and I just didn't want to get wet. I didn't do anything, actually. We just watched a lot of movies, actually. We just sat around and watched a lot of movies. I watched, you know
what? It was pretty bad. The rain, all the fun. Well, on Sunday, I went to see this dance performance, which was just...
Yeah, how was that?
That was Peter London.
Yeah, I know. How was it? Peter London's phenomenal.
It was really, really wonderful. The dancers were just gorgeous. I mean, these beautiful bodies and movement. Just very sensual. It's choreography. It's classical, but it also taps in the whole African style movement.
Uh-huh.
And the space is great. And while I was there, they have these dance studios that are adjacent to the main lobby of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in to one just to take a peek to see what they were doing, because you could see the door has a window on it. But I just went in and I took off my shoes, you know, because it's a marley floor, and plus it was an African class, so, you know, you're supposed to be barefoot in there, and, you know, like in a yoga class. And they just grabbed me, and they were finishing the class, and they all go in a circle, and they hold hands, and they just grabbed me. And gave me a very warm welcome to their circle. So that was very nice. And they have all kinds of classes there, you know. I actually plan on going to take maybe an African dance class there maybe once a week or something.
That's great.
But it's really good movement. You know, it uses your whole body. And it just lets you, it's a good de-stressor because you're just shaking and undulating. And it's nice to move. And the studios are beautiful. And everything is pretty brand new. And then there's on the other side is a courtyard and then a beautiful painting on the wall. And then there's an art gallery with classroom. And it's owned by the city of Miami and it's run and funding from the Knight Foundation. So.
That's great.
Then every third Friday they do an event there called Big Night in Little Haiti or something like that. Where they do showcases, outside and, you know, there's music and entertainment free. And then there's, like a woman serving Asian food, you know, like just from a mom and pop restaurant.
Oh, nice.
So,
fun.
I was very pleased because it was a rich afternoon, you know, so much culture and I grabbed, the backstage and I grabbed, theater. So we did a little 8-minute video interview as well.
So you interviewed Peter London afterward?
Yeah.
Awesome.
On video, in case someone, you know, if somebody doesn't want to sit through the whole show, they can have it on video. And they have a really great board of directors. I mean, it was just really had a very special afternoon. But then, when I was driving on my way home, I went to Northeast 2nd Avenue to downtown. And I mean, you could not, the clouds, the bands of moisture.
Yeah.
At this point, it wasn't really raining. It was just bands of clouds were so low, I couldn't see the buildings downtown.
Oh my gosh.
But my car. And I was like, God, I feel bad for anyone who lives in one of those condos up there.
Oh my
gosh. Right in the middle of a tropical storm, basically. But that's how low the clouds were. And then, I stopped at my sister's house in South Carlisle. I was going to leave, there was a tornado warning on the weather channel, so I had to wait a few minutes. And even though she was a mile and a half away, it took me like 10 minutes to get home because there was so much water on the road. I had to drive very slowly.
Wow. So,
quite an impressive little storm there.
Yeah, because didn't you guys have flood warning too in Miami-Dade?
Yes. Yeah, flood warnings, tornado warnings.
See, I didn't hear about the tornado warning. I heard about the flood warning.
And I've lived in quite a few storms, and this one was pretty impressive.
Wow.
I didn't see any downed trees or anything, but, you know, I think it was more water than wind.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely did not want to go out, and I didn't care what everybody else was doing. My friends and they went to Fantasy Fest. They had a good time, but I stayed away from all that. I had a nice time just hanging out, and not going anywhere and not driving anywhere. But it was good. So today we have Chase Candy on as our guest. I'm looking forward and like you know I think I promoted her like 2 weeks ago because I look at the calendar.
A little anticipation.
Yes, I couldn't wait to chat with her. So I was like doing some research on her, and she's a songwriter also, and she has a big social media presence. I mean, she has her MySpace page is incredible, and also she does quite a bit of stuff on YouTube, and she has a fan page too. So, and you had the opportunity to meet her.
I did. I met her by accident. The girl who helps her with her social media outreach is my friend Lucini. And I happened to stop at Miss Yip after the dog show on Biscayne Boulevard. I just stopped there to get a bite to eat and a little refreshment. And who walked in but me and Candy. So he obviously already knew. I had never met Candy in person. And we had a good time. I stayed for a cocktail with them and we just hung out. And Candy is lovely. I mean, she's physically stunning, but She's just all really down to earth also, and really smart and fun, you know.
Yeah, she seems a lot of fun. Actually, I watched her YouTube video. That was kind of funny. The one with the, I guess, Session 2 Masquerade. That was funny. And she has a show, too, right? Well, we'll ask her some more about it. Is she calling in, or are we calling her?
She's calling in.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, because she's from Miami originally. So I was doing some research on her prior. Do you know if she's from Miami, or is she, well, I'll ask
her. We'll have to ask her.
Yeah, because I say she's from Miami, like she lives in Miami, but I don't know if she's from. But can you believe today is the first day of November?
We're in Scorpio.
Yes, we are. Lots of scorpions.
Well, we have been for a few days.
Well, I have a lot of scorpion friends.
Month.
Yes, and it's coming.
Another year.
Another fun year.
Yeah. I thought it's going to be a great month for me because I'm going to get to go fishing.
Yeah, you have a busy month.
Hopefully the weather will cooperate on that day. I'll be really upset.
Well, you have a busy month.
And then I'm presenting at that summit. And then this week I have a speaking engagement, this week and the next, but this week is a private one where I put together a panel with some leading social media people for the South Florida Hospital Health and Hospital Association.
Oh, I want to talk about that. Hold on a second, okay? Hi, this is Tanya.
Hey, lady. To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2. To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
Hi, Chase. I did accept her. Hold on a second, Maria. That call recent. I love this Google phone line.
Hello.
Hi, Chase.
Hello.
Hi, Chase.
Yes, this is she.
This is Tanya.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Oh, am I live?
Yes, we are.
You are live. Awesome. Hello. How are you ladies doing?
We're doing good.
We were eager to learn more about you and where you're from, what you do, and all that good stuff. Awesome. I was calling you guys early because I wanted us to spill on this that Cubans run late.
Yeah.
I
always run
late.
I
have that problem too, and I always make a point of getting somewhere early just to dispel that reputation that we have. It's pretty bad.
So, Chase, I'm from Vietnam, so I'm always running late.
Vietnam?
Yeah, I'm from Vietnam originally, so I was born in Vietnam. I'm always late. I'm late to everything.
I'm guessing this is Tanya.
Yes, this is Tanya. And I put a disclaimer out at all time. I'm always late. So don't worry.
Do you warn people in advance?
Always. I'm late to my own party, okay? I'm late to my own gathering. I'm late for everything. So it's kind of expected once people understand why I'm always late, so...
You're just making a fabulous entrance.
Yes. So, speaking of fabulous, I was just checking out your music and stuff. You know, I love your music, by the way. This is the kind of stuff I listen to. I was listening I was on your MySpace page and listening to some of your music. You're almost between, what I do is when I do a search for a certain type of music, I would say vocal trance. But you're a little bit more club-like. I'm not quite sure. I haven't gotten to any soft songs, but it's very upbeat. It's a dance
music. Yeah, everything's upbeat. I don't really have any ballads. I like to keep everything as fast as possible.
Yeah, I like
club music, and so I've wanted all of my music to be that. I listen to all kinds of music. I mean, R&B and all sorts of slower kind of music, but maybe it's my ADD. I don't know. I like to dance, and I think that a big part of my whole act is a lot of the visual performance. So I need it to be upbeat so that we have the choreography and we have the dancers and we have the energy there for the club. So all the music is definitely keeping that in mind.
No, that's what I like about you. Maybe that's one thing we have in common. I have a major ADD, so I think that's probably why we have a lot in common, actually. So Tanya,
you have Vietnamese ADD, and
yes.
Then Chase, you have Cuban ADD.
Yes.
Yeah.
So watch
that
out.
Sounds like it. What kind of ADD is in Vietnam?
We go really fast. So
that's great.
And you know, I was listening to you, this one song, I just noticed it's called Narrow Ass. I thought that was, I like that song, actually.
Yes, I just released that song last week, actually. It's brand new.
It has a really good beat, so I was going to download it and put it in my MP3. But I really like that.
It's free. It's the first song that I've released for free. I just wanted to give something back to all my fans because I've had so much support for so long, and it's something that I've been wanting to do. So yeah, it's free for download. It just came out last week. I love it. It's awesome. I was working on it for a little bit of time, so I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And you know what I noticed about your, as far as your branding of yourself, you actually put out an audition for your fans to get involved, because I was just watching some of the choreography on your MySpace. You had some type of audition for dancers. I think it was 2010.
When I was working on the live performance, what I did was I had the choreographer do like the first, 30 seconds of the routine, and then I had people learn the routine and record themselves via video and send me like a virtual audition. That was really cool. It was really fun watching a lot of that. There were some boys that I had to disappoint because I wanted just girls to be my backup dancers, but that was really fun. I like doing everything online. I'm pretty, really geeky. I don't look that way. I've been a model for a long time, but I've always been a nerd. I had the glasses and braces when I was a kid, so I'm really into web design. I'm really into social media. I'm really into blogging and everything that has to do with the computer. I have like a million devices and I'm like attached to them like an IV. It's really bad.
See, that's why I liked you.
Because you designed your website, didn't you?
I did. I designed all my own websites. I did all of the actual graphics that are on something like MySpace and the actual website, but all of my covers, everything. I mean, I've worked with fabulous photographers all over the world, so I can't take credit for that, but the actual designing of the graphics on the web, yes, everything I've done myself.
Yeah, I love that. I love strong, beautiful, powerful women. That's the way women should be. Actually, you are the representation of the 21st century as far as to represent a brand. You have done it all. I've checked out your MySpace, your YouTube, your Facebook page, and I'm very impressed with it. So before we continue, can you tell our listener a little bit about yourself and your background?
I'm Cuban. I grew up here in Miami. I've lived here all my life. I've been doing music all my life. I sang in the church when I was a kid. My parents are very religious. I was always doing that. In school, I was in the choir. I was a cheerleader. I had like 500 extracurricular activities. There's the ADD again. I did everything. In fact, when I was a kid, I used to choreograph routines and then I'd promote them to like the neighborhood. I'd have my mom, who worked at a bank, photocopy a little flyer written by me with all sorts of misspellings and put them up in the whole neighborhood and ask for like a 5-cent donation to watch. And I would do it like in the middle of the street with my friends. And there was like this skating rink nearby, and we used to choreograph routines for like free nachos when we'd win. Awesome.
Wow.
I've always been into that kind of performance and art. Always, ever since I was a kid. And so when I got older, I actually started working with a team of producers on the writing side as a writer and on the business end. And I started to demo some songs for other singers, for other girls. And then they thought it might be good for me to just go ahead and pursue my own projects. And so I attempted that to see what would happen. I did a song, used my modeling pictures, and I put it up to MySpace, which at the time was booming. And I became the fastest growing act in the state of Florida in like 3 weeks, which was very encouraging. And so I decided to just go ahead and pursue it full on. And here I am now. That was like, I want to say 3 years ago.
That's fantastic.
And it's grown so much. I have like 30,000 followers online now, which is amazing. Probably more now, and I started with nothing in that time frame. So it's great.
That is incredible, actually. And you did it all by yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I do have an awesome producer that I work with, and I also have, you know, the photography helps a lot. And image is very important. I've worked with great photographers everywhere in London and Spain and Paris, and those kind of images really help. So So, yeah.
It's great. And you always knew this is what you wanted to do?
You know, I've kind of been all over the place. I knew that I wanted to be very, very extremely successful. I come from a very humble background, and my family always struggled there. You know, I'm a second generation immigrant. My parents came over here full grown with all their kids. All my brothers and sisters were born in Cuba. So I'm like, wow, you know, the last one born here. And I felt like it was my job to, I don't know, I guess bring everybody up to what they expected from America. I mean, I know it sounds kind of a little dramatic, but, you know, I think that a lot of immigrants come over here with these dreams for a better life, and they just end up struggling more because they're encountering a whole new system, a whole new way of living, and they become very disillusioned. And I always wanted to light everybody's life up. I wanted to make everybody laugh and smile. And so it kind of was natural to decide to do this. I didn't think I could do it for a living. Mm-hmm. So when that became a possibility, then I became very excited, and I was willing to work 70, 80 hours a week for free to make this happen. And the results I got and the response I got from my friends, from my fans, really encouraged me. So I should say yes to that.
That's
in a
great
long way.
No, that's you
well,
just.
Well, that's a great story.
Yeah, that's
you
a
know,
beautiful
I
story.
I love to hear stories of women being entrepreneurial and doing what they love. I mean, that's what life is all about. I did a post yesterday about Kim Kardashian's divorce, but not to go too much off subject, and I posted a link from Facebook, and somebody left a comment that says, oh, you know, pretty is as pretty does. And my post was about, you know, she's actually really smart.
Really smart.
Yeah, she's a little too smart for her own good, because all of that money and all of that intelligence and the resources that she has, she could put to good use to give back to the world, you know. And my coach was about, well, what would you do with $10 million? But anyway, he was as pretty as this pretty does. And I said, you know what, that has nothing to do with it. You can be pretty and a bombshell and have brains. Like that, what does that mean? Pretty is not stupid. I'm pretty. Fine is beautiful.
You know,
and we are smart women. And we do good things.
I totally agree, and I think that the stigma comes a lot from, a lot of the times girls, and then eventually women, they focus so much energy on being pretty that they don't educate themselves. And a lot of men don't put that, they don't put it out there that it's important for them to find an intelligent woman. All they want to talk about is the way a woman looks, and so it kind of becomes a preoccupation in young girls' minds that what's most important is their appearance, and unfortunately they don't educate themselves as much. So it is harder to find, you know, women that are smart, especially a woman that's pretty, if they've gotten there, because I think sometimes being beautiful isn't necessarily you're born that way. I look like, if I showed you pictures from my childhood, you would never believe that it's me, ever. I think it's all about, you know, the way you carry yourself, the way you take care of yourself, different routines that you learn with time. But I think that when you become that, if you put importance to educating yourself and to learning and into being smart and somebody that can hold a conversation, I think it's definitely very possible to be both. It's not mutually exclusive. It's actually very ignorant to think that it's impossible to be attractive and intelligent, which I know it is definitely a stigma. She, just to go back to the Kim Kardashian, is very, very smart. If you cast, like, behind-the-scenes footage of her or anything that where she's not, you know, really trying to promote herself, that girl has brains. And for her to take a sex scandal, which is how she came out, really, a sex scandal, into what she has, which is a humongous empire, I mean, that takes a lot of brain. That's not luck. It's not luck.
No, it takes a lot. That's a lot of brain and also a lot of marketing.
Have you noticed that on her show, in between, I don't really watch it a lot, but at my hair salon, they're constantly on channel, on E!, in between, on commercials, they're actually advertising her website, which is Shoe Dazzle, the shoe membership program that she has. That's amazing. Like, an idiot doesn't do that.
That's true. Because she's a brander. She knows what the important is. And also, you have to realize something. Beauty, I mean, this is from what I have always been told and you know, as a child growing up. And I'm first born generation in America, and I learned how to speak Spanish. I mean, Spanish. I learned to speak
Cuban.
I learned to speak English with the Cuban kids.
Well, they are. That's two different languages, really.
Yeah. Totally different. Actually, you know, I learned to speak English with the Cuban kids in 1975, and I've always been, you know, like, well, always wanted to be blonde hair and blue eyes, and I'm all American, but which I'm not. But I've come to realize that, you know, as your insecurity blossom and as you grow and you get, you realize something, you know, beauty is fantastic, but if you can mentally actually able to talk to someone and get them enticed mentally before, you know, beauty comes ahead of time, it will last longer. Because beauty and being mentally powerful, it's a very strong tool. Beauty might get you into doors sometime, but if you know how to talk, you can get into any door.
Yeah.
You know,
and that combination definitely helps. And people get bored of that. I mean, you might be a pretty face, but if you have nothing to say and no substance in there, mm-hmm. unless you're just like that, you're going to be bored of this person in like a day or two. I mean, right away, there's just nothing there. If I can't have a conversation with you, definitely.
And I've actually, you know, I have like a lot of guy friends who are in their 40s, and they have hot, beautiful girls. And you know what they complain to me about? They have nothing to talk to them about.
Nothing to talk about.
Yeah. They can buy anything they want in the world, but they wish their girl can have some kind of conversation with them. And I always laugh because it's like, okay, didn't you guys always want these girls around you because you thought they were so pretty? And once you got what you wanted and you got all the best of the best, and now you're telling me is all you want out of life is a good conversation?
Yeah, I think everybody ends up disappointed there.
Yeah.
Everybody ends up disappointed, especially when she's eventually going to get old and her beauty mm-hmm. is now going to be without any value. So now you just have this old, used-to-be attractive person that has nothing to say.
And that's kind of sad. So tell me something, Chase. I noticed also you have a show that you put on live. It's called Masquerade.
I do.
Every Thursday.
It's called Chase Candy's Masquerade, and we're live on my website. It's ChaseCandy.com, and that's on Thursdays at 9, and it's pretty awesome. I used to do it before, like, 2 years ago. I just used to go on randomly every week for, like, a few hours, and people would just join the room, and this time we decided to really take it seriously, and we made this whole production out of it, and now I have a special guest every week, which Maria's going to be on this week. Very excited about.
Awesome.
Yes. We talk about sex, politics, and pop culture.
So I have to watch this Thursday because I want to see what Maria has to say.
About which topic in particular?
All of the above. All of the above.
Well, I don't really get into politics, and you'll have to educate me on a little more pop culture, but facts I can definitely
yes, she can
talk about.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, the show is really fun. I like to keep it very, very loose. Like, it's just us hanging out. And there's people in the chat room that are talking, and they participate. They're watching us. And it's really, really fun. I love to talk about all of these things. I'm obsessed with politics. I know people don't expect it from you, but I'm really, really into politics. I mean, I'm into all the topics. And I think pop culture I'd probably be least interested in, too, surprisingly enough. But I love to talk about sex and politics. Two very interesting topics to me.
But don't they go hand in hand, though, sometimes? For 2011, I would say sex and politics are one of the major things that are in the news. They go hand in hand together, sex and politics.
Yeah.
And also, I was like, I'm actually on your website right now. So you built your whole page? ChaseCandy.com?
Yeah, I know everything about it. Everything that you see, all the everything, yeah, pretty much.
And I love the fact that you even have a store. Shop Candy.
I'm working on it now. I have like merchandise and everything that's ready to go. It's shopcandy.com, and the link is going to be there. But we have, it's going to be mainly like accessories and girl clothes and stuff that I would wear. But we're launching that soon. The show has really taken up so much of my time. People have no idea how much this career takes up. Like, no idea. I spend easily 60, 70, 80 hours a week just completely focused on all of these things. Being that I have a manager now, and she helps me with a ton of stuff. But up until this point, I'm like a one-man show. I mean, I'm doing everything, every single thing myself. And so that takes, I'm like a label, you know, all on my own. And it's very, very difficult to do. But all of the, and it's really, but I'm into it. I really am into all of that. I mean, I sat down with some coffee on my balcony. I live downtown, really high in the sky, and I just sat down with my laptop, and I just started chucking away at it little by little. I used to web design when I was in high school, way, wow, way back. Like, I think, you know, AOL was really the thing at the time, and I learned HTML coding when I was, like, 13. And I would stay up all night long, like 8 or 9 hours, and then go straight to school from there. I'd fall asleep in class and just go back home, skip class, to go just deal with that. It was really bad. So I think it came in handy. I was training myself at an early age.
What did your parents think of that? Did they thought that kind of strange that you were so into the internet?
No, I don't think so. My brother brought home a computer when I was like 11 or 12. And from that moment on, I was just like, that's it. I love this. I need to be. I would be in his room all the time. He would kick me out all the time. In fact, back then, AOL had already been going and stuff, but it was before they had like a monthly plan or right around that time, or we were just doing it by the hour. And my mom used to give me quarters to go do the laundry outside, but I had a friend that had a washer and dryer in her house, so I would take all the laundry to her house, and then I would take all the quarters to give to my brother to pay to get on America Online.
Oh my God.
How ridiculous is that? So
no, that's good.
I'm like 11 or 12 to take that strategy. You know, I'm going to just carry all this clothes so I can get on America Online later.
Well, that's good. You're prepared. I love that. So, so where do you see yourself going with it? Because now you're pretty branded on social media. I mean, where do you see yourself, let's say, this time next year in 2012? Where do you see yourself?
I think that a year from now, let's see, I was thinking the end of the year, definitely on tour of some kind. I mean, I'm realistic. I don't expect to be on some humongous tour of any kind, but I would love to be just consistently touring the country and maybe other countries. I mean, people in Europe are so into my music. I get my downloads are so much from the UK, I get downloads from Australia, from Japan, like in huge numbers. It's amazing. It's like I don't even talk to these people. I don't even expose myself to them, and they're still big fans. So hopefully just touring in all these places, and social media is a big part of that because it's the way everybody communicates now, especially the younger people. And, you know, those are mainly the consumers of music. And so I think that, with the growth that I've had and I communicate with everybody myself. There's a lot of people that do music and they hire other people to like talk back to them. Everybody knows that I'm the one that's the voice of all of my brand. I mean, I have MySpace, I have Twitter, I have Facebook. I have it all synced. So I do, you know, I don't have to post like in a million different places. I know that this show kind of covers that. So I did want to mention that because I know that a lot of people have a hard time finding a way to connect all of these different sources of media. But if you put some time into it, you can figure out ways to connect all these different websites so that you post to one place and everything's together. And then you just got to go in individually to respond to people. But social media is definitely a big part of branding for all sorts of companies. So many people neglect that. It's amazing. I'm baffled sometimes that people don't have an online presence, especially with this new generation where everybody has it on their phone. It's like with them all the time.
Yeah, I think I'm obsessed with my iPhone, so. Because I don't know about you, but I don't leave my house unless I know where my phone is. So, and you're right. Everybody needs to get on that. And I think in 2012, you're going to see a lot more ad spending, a lot more different things. And, you know, now, you know, you're starting to see people who are not even known, well-known at all, become well-known because of YouTube. Because all the YouTube things that they're doing. And, you know, you can promote anything you want, but if you just are very transparent, which you are, you share quite a bit on the social networks. So that, you know, I see you going very far because your brand in itself, it's incredible because you placed yourself strategically before anyone else did. So that's good. I mean, a lot of the brands, a lot of big singers nowadays and writers, they're not as branded as you are. I mean, You have everything straight across.
We should start a company helping them brand themselves.
Yeah.
Start a plan. No, definitely, and I appreciate that. I know that it's important to have a brand and a face, and more importantly, I think it's very important to be sincere and honest and expose yourself and be transparent about all of that. I mean, I know people don't want to hear, you know, I'm on the toilet right now, okay, I'm cooking right now, I'm doing this right now. People make fun of that all the time when they're making fun of the social media thing, but people want to know that you're human and you do the same things that they do, despite how popular you might be. So I try to just, you know, keep it like that because I am, you know, I do music and I, you know, I take pictures and I travel and all that's exciting. But at the end of the day, I'm still some, you know, I'm still a girl. I still come from humble beginnings, just like a lot of people, and I don't see myself to be any different from everybody else. So I think it is important to talk about that. And I blog about all kinds of things that some people might think are too personal or too opinionated about things. But I think all of that is important. I mean, for some companies, you know, you kind of don't want to be that personable. For an artist or someone that's like branding themselves as a person or a blogger or a writer, I think it is important to do that.
Oh, yeah. They have to, I guess, because you have fans and people have to feel that they can understand or get to know you a little bit more. And then, you know, being down to earth is so important these days. It's so important.
It is very important. People are much more quick to know that something's fake, and then they lose interest, I think, very quickly.
So, have you thought about live webcamming your show onto Facebook?
My webcam show?
Yeah, your webcam show. You can live it. You can stream it right to Facebook.
I do, actually. It is on Facebook, too.
Oh, cool.
It broadcasts on my Facebook page as we go live. Actually like the default landing tab. So if you went to my Facebook page on Thursday night at 9 o'clock, I'd be right there on your screen.
Oh, awesome. Good for you.
So do it, people. Okay, no, just kidding.
So when you do a blog post, because I'm looking at some of your blog posts, you do quite a bit about your show, what you're talking about. I was watching your Masquerade episode 2. That was hilarious.
That one was hilarious. We thought it was a complete disaster, but when we sat down to look at it later, we just could not stop laughing. I mean, tears were coming out of our eyes. It was really, really funny.
I thought it was hilarious, especially when it came to the voiceover you guys were doing. That was funny.
We have an awesome editor. Her name is Danny, and she's a student at UM, and she's been helping us turn our hour into a 2-minute clip, which is really fun. But that takes up so much time too. All of these things, okay. But yeah, it's really fun. I blog lately. I've been blogging about that because we're running a season of Chase Candy Masquerade. I'm not doing it indefinitely. This is going to be like a season one officially of the Masquerade, and we're doing 10 episodes and then we're done. So I'm definitely promoting that a lot on my blog. But on the blog, I take a lot of pictures that I don't necessarily post on Facebook. You know, I'm at the park with my dog, or I'm just hanging out with my niece. We're going to a concert, and then, you know, a little more personal. Or I can elaborate more and, you know, tell a story or say something personal about myself or take an issue that I find going on in the news or something and just voice my opinion about it. I use it kind of like a public diary scrapbook kind of thing. So, and I use WordPress for the site and the blog.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm very impressed. You know what WordPress is. Of course you do, but I'm just... The way you say it, I'm like, wow, she knows what that is.
Yeah, I experimented a lot with everything. I mean, I think it was called LiveJournal way back. I used LiveJournal before, and then I used to blog on MySpace for a while, and then MySpace went to, you know, God knows. Poor site went to hell.
I know.
What happened to them? What a disaster it happened to that site, right? It's too much ads, too much customization. It got too heavy, and then Facebook just came and took over.
And you customized
everything. One by one, every single blog entry. I literally sat there one
day
and copied and pasted every single blog entry from MySpace into my current blog, my WordPress blog. That was not fun.
But you also have a Google Plus page, too.
I have everything.
I know.
Even the ones that you don't even know about. I just go in, I'm like, oh, this is new. I'm going to reserve my name. Make sure somebody else doesn't try to be Chase Candy on this. Everything. I mean, I'm subscribed to Mashable's daily email. I'm always reading Mashable. I love it. As soon as something new is coming out, or even something that's forecasting to come out in 6 months, I'm already on it. I'm already, I mean, this is the kind of, I'm not watching TMZ or the news or other people would think, no, I'm definitely on the geeky side. So I wake up and I'm like cleaning my eyes out and it's like Mashable on my screen.
I love that. So, I love that.
You did this, you did a Mary Jane quote unquote cleanse.
I did.
How did that go?
It did not go very well.
Tell us about that.
That did not go very well. I went a little bit of time, but I think that creativity, some people argue with me about this. Not many. I'm young, so a lot of people are kind of into the whole Mary Jane thing for recreational use. But I feel it really helps me with ideas. I'm not necessarily, you know, I use a vaporizer, which is what I talked about there. I don't smoke at all. I'm a health freak. I eat very healthy, everything organic and veggies, and I do the whole thing. So I don't smoke, but I use a vaporizer. And I think that things come into your mind that you wouldn't think about. And I know because I'll go sober for plenty of days and, you know, maybe a little bit of inspiration here and there. And then I'll get a vaporizer and all of a sudden my notebook gets filled with like pages of ideas. So I feel like so dull sometimes as far as my art goes when it's not there. And there's so many artists, not just music people, like actual artists, painters, writers, performers. I mean, even someone like Bill Maher, who I love, is, you know, openly a pothead. So many other people. What's this famous actor, Seth Rogen, I think? He was just on Howard Stern the other day, like, talking about how he's just high all day from the moment he wakes up till the end of the day. And he just directed his own movie and has all these huge movies, so I don't know. Well, hopefully we'll see that legalization soon.
Well, how did we get
I believe
into
in
this?
It.
It's, you know, in some cultures, like, you know, the shamans get high on purpose.
Really?
Because it's supposed to open your mind.
Enlighten, yeah.
Enlighten you, you know, so they have these mental experiences that you can't have under normal consciousness. And so it's accepted to get high, you know, but they do shrooms, weird stuff like that.
Ooh.
But the vaporizer is really good for you.
Not every day, but yeah. So there is something that you said about creativity and mood alteration. I mean, I sometimes write. Some of my best writings happen after having a couple of drinks. You know,
right.
So I don't write about that, but I'll admit it. You know, that some of it. And there's sometimes when there's some things I have to write that have to be very clear and organized, you know, and so I'd rather do that sober, but...
Right, there's a time and a place for everything. I'm sober now. I'm sober just for you guys.
Well, don't be sober for the show.
No, I'm never sober for my show.
You don't have, like, skip and have a cocktail beforehand.
Yes, definitely. That's like a rule. In fact, my manager will tell me, you're too sober right now. You need to consume something. It's just not...
I love it.
It's not going to work the other way. I just think it's about being prepared, being knowledgeable, and being good at what you do. If you're a writer, you're a good writer, then, you know, it's not like drinking or smoking or doing something is going to make you a better writer. What it is it's a combination of having that background already and then now taking yourself out of your normal state of being. If you're normally sober, like most of us are, the moment you change your I want to say you're like your mindset, or I'm not purposely, but I mean that's just what being drunk or high or buzzed. That's what the purpose is to take you out of your state of soberness, which is normal and dull, and it's just your everyday routine, and making you feel slightly different. And so you are going to be, if you're open minded enough, thinking about things that you wouldn't normally think about. And so I think that it has value in that. I mean, there are people that do it just for fun, but I definitely endorse it. Anything that's going to help.
You know, Matthew Taylor Coleridge, one of the greatest poets of the English language, as well as, what's his name? Anyway, a bunch of those English poets in the 19th century were high off the kite, you know, like all the time. And they wrote some amazing poetry. And in fact, that was like normal. And there's that famous French poet, whose name I can't remember.
Well,
I've lost a few brain cells.
I think we all have, no worries.
Who used to drink copious amounts of absinthe. And so it was, you know, it was considered like the mood altering and creativity. It's normal, you know?
Yeah, definitely. For a long time. I mean, definitely.
I think if you're creative.
Why was the Ancient Mariner?
See, Chase, I believe you're creative. You have to, sometimes, you know, you have to relax a little bit. And people don't realize a vaporizer, it's the safest. You can ever, and the cancer patients use vaporizer in a sense. But I'm just saying to you that when you're so uptight and stressed out and so constantly just go, you just, some people need to be de-stressed because, you know, when you are constantly upset, you cause inflammation, and inflammation down the road causes cancer. This is where I'm telling you this, because this is what I believe in, and this is what my background, I work with a lot of anti-aging doctors and wellness doctors. So we believe that, you know, everything we do is in moderation, but you also have to get your brain to relax also. So
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I studied psychology, and in school we learned, very interestingly enough, that stress, in my health class, every chapter of this huge book had its own, you know, thing. It really focused on one thing or another. Stress had three chapters. It was the only subject that had three chapters, and this is a health class.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people work so hard nowadays. I mean, everybody's working overtime with the economy being this way. So I do think something like a glass of wine or the vaporizer, whatever it is that you're going to do to unwind, will definitely help, because coping with, I mean, I don't know how it is in other countries, but I know here, and I know a lot of people that are working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and you have the stress of making sure you keep your job, because you know that if you lose it, you might not find another one. So there's a lot of stress that comes with that, and it definitely helps to unwind and recharge and get ready to do it all over again the next day.
And that's why, I
agree.
I agree.
Stress can kill you. I think that's worse than anything.
Younger.
I used to have severe anxiety disorder, and I really had to train myself to just let go of everything and just not let worry be a word in my vocabulary or something that my body feels, because worrying about stuff, anticipating negative stuff, overstressing yourself, it doesn't even help you. It's counterproductive. But if stuff is bad, it's going to be bad anyway, whether you worry about it or not. And so you just have to shift your mind and say, okay, I'm going to do something about it, but I'm not going to let my body go through that, because it's not even going to help me get where I want to be. So
right.
So I just don't worry about anything.
That's okay. That's a good technique.
Well,
there are people that worry about things before they happen, and that's so pointless. There's no purpose. So now it might not even happen, and now your body went through the physical mechanism of stress, which releases cortisone into your body, which is terrible.
I don't know about you ladies, but you know, I grew up with mom. Well, think about it.
All of that. Those are really negative, really bad for your actual insides. Like, it really deteriorates your organs and everything.
Did your mom or dad worry before it happened? Did your parents teach you how to be stressed out? Because mine did. Mine was always telling me to be careful about something that it never would happen or could happen. But I grew up as an adult just kind of like, you know, everything will work out, and I don't stress out anymore about it, because I was brought up to be stressed out about everything, you know.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I don't know that it was that bad, but we definitely all have anxiety, and we do take stress very heavy. I think humans are really, really hardworking people, and they take life seriously in general. They're not like, you know, I know that I have a lot of friends that are from Puerto Rico, and over there everything's kind of like lax, and everybody's just taking it easy and moving slow, and that's not that important. And we're not like that. We have like our own huge city, Hialeah, like the biggest city inside of Miami. We're like recession proof. I mean, seriously, it's like we just take everything to heart. We're just obsessed with everything. So I can relate to that. I had to struggle to force myself to not be like that, to go, okay, I'm just going to, you know, inhale, exhale, usa, and I'm going to try to relax, because I don't want to die when I'm 50.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's a great way to look at it, because I was just like thinking, we're all three of us, we were raised by first generation immigrants, and I could imagine what it was like to grow up where you were taught to be afraid because you're in a new country. So that's why I had to like share that part. But Chase, this Thursday your show is live stream at 9.
Yes, live stream 9 o'clock Eastern.
So how many more shows do you have? This would be your third show?
Six. This will be our fifth show. Uh-huh. We have two more that are waiting to be posted. This will be our fifth, and we have six more.
Are you signed? Do you have an agent? Like, do you see yourself getting into movies and TV shows, or?
No, you know, that's kind of the next step. I'm literally like in the midst of building people on my team. I now have the manager, I have the people for the editing. So, you know, I'm kind of little by little looking for a PR person now, or I'm literally trying to go from being a one-man team to actually having a group of people that are helping this brand grow and expand and reach a larger audience. And so that's part of it. And I would love to do all of that. I think I love the camera and I love to be entertaining. So I'm kind of open to all of that. So I would love to have an agent that can expose me to all those opportunities. That would be great. I mean, I've done those kinds of things in the past. I've been in and out of all of that. I've done theater and done stage. I've been on TV. So I've done those kinds of things. But now that I'm taking this more seriously and really trying to pursue it as a career, the show's a great medium for that. I think it shows off my personality very well. I look a little crazy in that episode, too, that you saw. I'm all over the place. I think I experienced, like, 25 emotions in 2 minutes.
That's awesome, though. Like, good for you. But, you know, the thing is, you are having fun. That's the best part about watching you is that you are actually having a lot of fun. And having fun, believe it or not, people can say they're having fun. People don't know how to have fun. They're too worried about everything else.
That's true. The word fun is very subjective. People say they're having fun, and you can just tell. Fun is something that people can sense it and feel that. They can see that. They can hear it. So it's not just, you know, a frame of mind that you yourself have going on in your brain. It's something that exudes from your aura, I want to say. So, yeah, you definitely have a lot of fun on the show, Maria. Get ready.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Steve was saying, maybe you should wear your pink wig. I don't know. We'll come up with something.
Ooh, I think you should wear your pink wig.
That sounds great. We should get
our
matches.
To wear my pirate hat.
Oh!
No, I want her to wear a pink wig. Because, you know, Maria, when you wear your pink wig, there's something that the way your eyes look. Your pirate hat, you look... I've seen you in that, but your pink wig, the pictures I've seen you wearing it, you have this devilish fun look to you. So
yeah,
I think you should wear that pink wig.
It's so much better than my own hair.
No, that's not it.
It's actually a nice haircut for me. I need to get bangs.
You're going to have to take the wig to the hair salon and make this happen.
No, it's that the color.
Yeah, but I'm going to need like a genetic, you know, replacement, you know.
Oh.
This is a nice, thick, you know, mate, like you, oh my God, your hair. Oh my God. I'm like Miss Flimsy, you know, fine hair. Why didn't I get the Cuban hair? What happened?
Yeah, that's strange, because we are normally like, yeah, it's pretty intense. I used to hate it. I hated it all my life. It wasn't until I got much older that I really appreciated it. It's just so hard to manage and to detangle it. When I was a kid, it was like hell. I was like screaming and running. I see my nieces now going through that. They're like, no, please don't comb my hair. I'm like, trust me, it needs to be combed. People pull my hair all the time thinking it's fake. Oh, these have to be expensive. I'm like, no, man, I'm Cuban. No, trust me. It's real.
I feel cheated. But I didn't get the hair.
Hey, the ass is more important. The hair, you can always
that's true. That's a work of art, you know. I did not get ass implants. This is totally 100% natural.
It's amazing how popular those are now. Oh my gosh, it's like awesome. I can't believe it. It's like boom.
Have you been down shopping at Balsan in Alapata, where all the, you know, the Cubans go?
No.
Oh, wow. We should do a show there. it's like a department store, but it's in different little shops, and it's like a, I don't know, you know the working guy, yeah? I mean, everything is really cheap, and it's
almost like a glorified flea market. But all of the mansions have big asses.
Oh, yeah.
All of them.
Place that's like 20th and
20th? Yes.
Oh, I know where that is. Yes, and the SO, not boob fillers,
but ass fillers. So these girdles with actual butt implants on them.
Oh my God, funny.
And I was like, when I went shopping there with my friend, who was also Cuban, I was like, why are they selling this here? And she was like, you'd be surprised, there are a lot of skinny Cuban women who want bigger asses.
That's very common.
Wow, yeah, I'm excited about that problem.
So I used to thought it was like, you know, have you seen on the mannequins?
The mannequins are, I wrote a blog post about this on Lady Control 1, and all of the mannequins are fully full, they're skinny, but they have these like bubble butts.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of them, so you know you're in the Latino community.
Yeah.
There. It's just really funny, because, you know, they have the jeans, and then they have the derriere enhancers.
I like that. Derriere enhancers.
See, I love the one that where we're the, you know, today's world, because we can be whatever we want to be. I mean, you can have any color hair you want. You can have anything added to you or taken away. You can have any color eyes you want. I mean, the contacts. So, I mean, it's great, but then sometimes you gotta like feel sorry for the men, because you never know what they really don't know what they're getting.
You know, some men don't care though. They really don't. There's so many that don't care. It's really sad. It's really sad. Some prefer real, but some guys just don't. They just don't care.
You don't think so?
So what about you? So is there any romance in your life? Can I be nosy?
Well, I just don't have the time. I like to, and I try. I've always been kind of a boner and a serial monogamous, so I try not to. I'm very picky, too. Very, very picky. I'm so picky, it's ridiculous. But I just don't have the time right now to be in a relationship. When I do date, the most important thing to me, well, two things. The shallow important thing is height. I'm 5'8", and I like wearing stilettos. So the person has to be like 6 feet tall. So that just really lowers my pool of people, being that I'm in Miami and Latinos are normally short. So that really limits my options. And then second, I need someone that's smart. I like to have like intellectual conversations all the time. So I need someone
really
that can handle that.
Really,
yeah, I'm kind of screwed, you know? I go on dates. People used to make fun of me all the time. I'd literally be on a date for like 20 minutes and I'm like, no, this is not, no. It's not working.
But Miami is such a melting pot.
I think Tanya found the last smart man in Miami.
The last short man?
No, smart.
Oh, smart man. Really? Yeah, these guys are kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not insulting the guys in Miami. There are plenty of smart guys.
Mine is some bokeh.
The guys here, like the metrosexual thing, like they're almost like girls. They're super obsessed with the way they look and where they go and who they socialize with. And they're into all like that. Very Miami.
I'm sorry for the expression, but they almost act like pussies. This is why my hurricane season boyfriend was like a fishing guy who stayed in the bowels of the Amazon and cared about mosquitoes. And I don't want someone like that around. I want a man, not a real man, who's not going to care about, well, oh my God, I just did my nails, you know, like, whatever.
I actually do have guy friends that are like getting their manicured, and I'm like, wow, really? And their pedicure? I'm like, oh my God, I love you, but really?
Well, I think Jersey Shore did
nice.
It.
Personal grooming is nice, but it's like, you know, you spend more time on your nails than I do, dude.
That's the problem.
No, I think, you know what it is? It's Jersey Shores. I think the guys in Jersey Shores have set the wrong standard.
And oh my gosh, yes, they've taken that. I really don't watch any television at all. I don't watch any of it. I caught a few episodes of that when it very first came out years ago, and I found some clips online. They're like really overboard. Oh my gosh, they're so crazy. They're like, they need like a tanning bed in their house. They're like so obsessed with that.
Well,
and everything, their eyebrows, it's like, really, did you need to pluck them like that? And you look like a girl. And how do girls like this? Who likes this?
Well, girls who watch those shows, and I think that's where the direction we're going in right now. It's they're idolizing Jersey Shore, so that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that. But let's round up the show. Chase, again, thank you so much for joining us in this chat, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm hoping one day that we our path will cross. I get to meet you. And Maria, I'm gonna have to sneak in, because Thursday night I go out to dinner with my friends, but I'm gonna have to like be late and watch at least the first 10 minutes.
Oh my gosh, he's not
going to
be on the first 10 minutes.
She's not?
Watch it on your phone. You have an iPhone, right?
Yeah. Watch it on my phone.
And you're going to record it, right? So you can watch it later.
Yeah.
Well, she'll only get to see the last 2 minutes. I mean, 2 minutes that are edited. But you can watch it on your phone. It'll be live on the phone.
Okay, I'll watch it on my phone then. I'll show it to my friends.
Awesome.
We'll get a kick out of it.
Well, it was really fun being here with you, ladies. Thank you so much for having me.
And before we go, can you tell us how to, if somebody wanted to follow you on Twitter? On your fan page?
On Twitter, it's Chase Candy, ChaseCandie. So at Chase Candy, and everything Chase Candy on any social network, you'll find me. Facebook, MySpace, Google+, wherever, I'm there.
I love it.
Definitely look me up. And my website is chasecandy.com, and everything is there. That's definitely my hub. So thank you so much for letting me plug myself.
Thank you for coming on and chatting with us. You rock, and I see you going very far. So whatever we can help you to promote, let us know.
Thank you so much. You ladies have an awesome day.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Maria, she rocks. I cannot wait to watch you.
This was fun.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. Actually, I'm going to upload it and create the link right away.
Great.
Yeah, so you have a great day, and I'll be back tomorrow with Social Chats No Aging with Sandra Lopez and myself. And Maria, I'll have it all set up, and I'll give me this is my very next thing I'm doing.
Okay, so I'll pass it on to Z, so she can promote it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Great, Tanya. Well, you have a great day and a great week, and then you'll see me on Thursday.
Yes, definitely. I sure will. I'll be watching you.
Okay.
Bye, guys. Have a great day.